It was 9 o'clock when they left camp, Walter in the bow as usual, but this time with nothing to occupy his attention but his camera and the jack light strapped on his hat. The reflector was within easy reach of the guide to whom Walter had given careful instructions in its use. A flash consisting of 2 number 2 cartridges had been prepared and wires connected from a couple of electric batteries. Jim had merely to press a button to fire the flash. It was agreed that Walter should set his focus for 100 feet, and that should they be lucky enough to find the deer, the judging of the distance and setting off of the flash should be left to the guide. It was weird, uncanny, that paddle down the lake, the black water beneath them, and a black formless void around and above them. A dozen strokes from shore, Walter felt as utterly lost so far as sense of direction was concerned as if blindfolded. But not so Big Jim. He sent the canoe forward as confidently as if in broad daylight. The jack was lighted, but not on cover. Walter became aware presently that the canoe was moving very much more slowly, and he suspected that they were approaching the lower end of the pond. At a whispered word, he turned on the jack. The narrow beam of light cutting athwart the darkness made the night seem blacker by contrast. Very, very slowly they were moving, and there was not so much as the sound of a ripple against a light craft. The boy sat motionless, but listen as he would, he could detect no smallest sound to denote the presence of his companion, much less to indicate that he was paddling. But paddling he was, and the canoe steadily crept forward. A mighty chorus of frog voices in many keys evidenced the close proximity of the meadows surrounding the outlet. As the canoe's course was altered to parallel the shore, the boy cautiously turned in his seat so that the rays from the jack were directed shoreward. At that distance, even in the very center of the beam of light, the shore was but a ghostly outline, and Walter wondered how it could be possible that they could see the eyes of a deer. Once the heavy plunge of a muskrat made him jump inwardly, for his nerves were keyed to a high pitch. He was beginning to feel cramped from so long maintaining one position. One foot and leg had gone to sleep. But he grimly ground his teeth and resolved that, come what might, he would not move. A slight tremor on the port side of the canoe attracted his attention, and he realized that Big Jim was shaking it, the signal agreed upon should the guide see the deer first. Walter forgot his discomfort. Eagerly, he stared at the shore. For a few minutes, he saw nothing. Suddenly, he became conscious of 2 luminous points, the eyes of a deer gazing in fixed fascination stare at the light. He could discern no faintest outline of the animal, but the eyes glowed steadily, unwinking. Inch by inch, the canoe drifted in. Suddenly, the 2 glowing points disappeared. Walter's heart sank. Had the animal taken fright? No, there they were again. The deer had merely lowered its head for a moment. A shake of the canoe warned the boy that there was something more. Turning his own eyes from the 2 burning there in the blackness, he presently became aware of 2 more, smaller and low down. A second later, he saw a 3rd pair. What could it mean? Could it be that the deer had enemies stalking it? What if it should be a lynx or even a panther? His excited imagination conjured up a thrilling scene. What if he could photograph it? He longed to ask the guide what it all meant. But that was impossible.